from a place hidden deep within Las Vegas, on the 44th floor of the legendary Korean Taco Plant, situated discreetly next to dumpster number 3, a man is on a mission. A mission to bring music and comedy to the world. A mission to introduce the people behind the greatest acts in Las Vegas. A mission to bring you the news like you've never heard it before. A mission to be crazy! It's the Rockin' Comedy Show with your host, Crazy Jay! Along with the mind-blowing talent of his co-host, Paul the Spaz Peraza, they bring you special guests, live music, crazy news, and I can't get behind that, along with God only knows what else they'll come up with. And now, here's your host, Crazy Jay!
It is the Rockin' Comedy Show. We are up here on the 44th floor of the Korean Taco Plant, located, of course, downtown near Dumpster 3. Rebecca's here. That is our resident train wreck. And filling in for Spaz this week, very funny man who hasn't been on the show in a while, Brian Hoffman is here. What's up, buddy?
Brian. How you doing? Glad to be back. Thank you for having me again.
How are things with you?
Things are well. Enjoying life, having fun, making people laugh.
That's good. Yeah. For those that don't know, he performs as a stuntman out there at Bonnie Springs.
Yeah.
And he also is Red Skelton impersonator.
Yeah. Yay. I'm going to get my Phyllis Diller act together and you and I can work
there
on something.
Go. That would be good.
And he used to do Grandpa Munster at Bonnie Screams, yeah. But...
Oh my God, you're perfect! Perfect!
And so he's here, he's going to be in for the news, and I can't get behind that and much, much more.
Yay! Mm.
And coming up on the show today, Mark Savard's going to be here.
Oh, I love Mark Savard.
Mark Savard's first experience on the show was with Mad Mike, and... he didn't enjoy it, so we have to have fun.
Have fun, what?
He totally thought Mad Mike was an idiot. So like, and it has taken many, many phone calls, many emails, and apologies to get Mark.
What did Mad Mike do?
He's just an idiot. you know, Mike's favorite question to ask people was, do they like pickles? And if they were, do they like dills or sweets? And... Mark just wasn't buying it. I don't know. So Mark's here. We're going to do a version of the game we played last week with Seth Turner. We dropped your wife on you.
Shh, don't tell him.
And this will be a total surprise because he has no idea that I know how to get a hold of his wife.
It's called Facebook stalking.
But she was very, very happy to do it.
Yay.
So that's awesome. And, you can find us on Facebook. Look at for our fan page, Rockin' Comedy. We're also on Twitter.
Rockin' Comedy.
And we're Skyping now, and our line is open. So you guys can call on Wednesdays while we do the show. And the number is 702-866-9135. Maybe we'll get some calls.
Yeah!
You never know. They might have a question for Red Skelton.
You think?
You never know. Or they're drunk and incoherent. We won't know what they're talking about. But Rebecca will be able to translate.
Right. Don't worry, I've got this under control.
You speak drunkenese?
Drunkenese, Lorelese.
So
Pillipalese.
So where are you doing your show at these days, Brian?
I am doing the show now at the Westin Kos Arena, which is easier to say than spell. And that is on the corner of Koval and Flamingo. And for the old... folks that have been in town a while, they used to be the Maxim.
It's a very disco-looking place, Maxim was.
Yeah.
I like the Westin.
Doing it Mondays and Tuesdays afternoon at 2 o'clock, so the people who remember Red are still awake.
And then they can go home and have supper and go to bed at 4.
At 4:30.
Their arms are so tired from the one-armed bandit.
Yeah.
His audience is typically the ones that wear the oxygen masks while smoking and gambling at the same time.
And then they hop on their scooter.
Yeah. Those are the ones.
You'll see them every Monday and Tuesday. At the Westin.
I have special parking in the back of the room for all the scooters.
I bet you do.
I always have to ask, can you get out of that thing and walk to the chair, or do we got to leave you in it and move chairs?
They only use those damn things so they skip the line at the buffet. We all know it's true.
Yeah, and to get doors open for them.
Well, Rebecca is here to do the news.
I am.
And now it's time for the Rocking Comedy Show News with your anchor, Rebecca Zimlick. From every corner of the globe, she brings you the news that matters. No story is too small. From guys plant mice at a pizza shop,
what?
To woman steals crucifix after confession, she brings you the scoop like no one else can. Now, here's Rebecca with the news.
All right, first on the agenda is Minister of Music tases pastor. Another woman stabbed during a fight at church. And the reason I love this story so much was from Mobile County, Alabama. And that's where my family is from. And let's see, the Mobile County Sheriff's officials have issued warrants for two people after a pastor was tased and a woman stabbed during an altercation at New Welcome Baptist Church, officials said today in news release. Sheriff's deputies were called to the church in the 8600 block of Bow Road on Sunday. I have no really idea where that is. I probably should have map-quested that first. Regarding an assault on a pastor, the Reverend Daryl Riley.
You haven't done research on the news yet. Why start now?
I know. Where's Bow Road? That he was no longer needed in the position. And that Riley then handed Moore his final paycheck. Moore disagreed with the amount of the check and an argument erupted. Moore then tased Riley with a taser gun. Several church members were involved in the fight, including Miss Moore, the music minister's mother. Officials said that she was stabbed by one of the deacons, identified as Harvey Hunt. All members that participated in the fight were treated and released from a local hospital. A warrant for the second-degree assault was signed on Moore. Another warrant was signed on the third-degree assault signed for Mr. Hunt. Oh, my God. Who carries a knife to church? I can understand getting stabbed, but where do you... I mean, it would be different if they were in line for potluck.
You said his last name's Hunt?
Mike Hunt?
Yeah.
It was Harvey Hunt. But, I mean...
Mike's his son.
If you were, like, in line at potluck, but there was just a church, so that means these people carry knives to church. Right. I don't think that's very church-like. No, maybe it is.
It depends on the church.
Well, obviously, it's in Mobile, Alabama. It's a little roughneck up there. All right, next story on the agenda is shopper is arrested with live lobster in shorts. And it's every time. It's never like some city that we know of or even a city I can't pronounce, but it's Diverville, Mississippi. A man in southern Mississippi is accused of trying to walk out of a Diverville grocery store without paying for food items he stuffed in his cargo shorts, including live lobsters. That's plural, so I'm thinking more than one. Police Chief Wayne Payne. Are they fucking shitting me? My name is Wayne Payne. Oh, my God.
Obviously, your parents didn't love you.
Says 35-year-old Nathan Mark Hardy was arrested Saturday after allegedly being caught stuffing food into his cargo shorts, two bags of jumbo shrimp, a pork loin, and two live lobsters. Dude, it was Labor Day. This motherfucker needed something to grill. Payne says Hardy of Biloxi tried to escape by throwing the pork loin at the employees of the local Winn-Dixie, but fell while running away. He was arrested on the scene. A shoplifting charge is just a misdemeanor. You know what? I couldn't even have made that up. That's amazing.
Not even if you tried.
Not even if I tried. All right. Images of Flint police sergeant fending off dog attack captivates readers. Flint, Michigan, a dangerous encounter between a Flint police sergeant and an aggressive dog was captivated readers last week. Dog lovers showed Sergeant St. John's with praise for sparing the life of a dog that charged him while investigating a stab scene. Others were impressed by his famous for fancy footwork. What the fuck is wrong with me? That I think some of our callers are going to get to me tonight. Usually when I start drinking, I attract more.
Come on, Jay, let's take some calls. It'll be fun.
It'll be awesome. All right. So, our next story up. He's a sword wielding man. I'm waiting for it to load. Damn iPad.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh my gosh. This will be edited in post. Because I think I should bring my laptop from now on.
So Brian, every Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. Gertrude and Heathcliff will be there. Them two seagulls fly in, swoop on the iPad. And
all right.
Is it loaded?
Yeah. Woman punches bear in snout to save dog. What? Juneau, Alaska. Woman says she knows it was stupid to punch a black bear in the snout to save her dog. But Brooke Collins says the attack happened so fast, that's all she could think of is keeping her Dachshund Fudge from being killed. The 22-year-old says as soon as she let her dogs out Sunday, Fudge started barking and she saw the bear carrying him like a salmon. Collins told the Juneau Empire when she did the first thing she thought of and punched the bear's face and scooped away her dog when it let go. The startled bear took off through the bushes to a mountain. Fudge suffered some claw and bite marks, but weren't too deep. Collins said he appeared to be more shocked than injured. That's the biggest Dachshund I've ever seen. It's like a greyhound. It's like, this fat fuck, I don't want to eat him anyways. And you know what? That's the only decent news I could find this week.
Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah. Damn iPad. Thank you. Good night.
Yay.
Also want to point out that the Naughty Nerd is here from NaughtyPie.com.
He looks a lot different without his costume on.
Well, he doesn't need to be in costume today.
It's on radio.
Yeah, it's on radio.
You're like the unknown naughty boy.
Feel free to, you know, come on up and say hey.
Come on, you brought some pizza. You might as well talk. You didn't bring that for free, did you?
Yeah, I brought some. What are we going to talk about? What do you guys want to talk about?
I want to talk about y'all stuff.
Yeah.
Get close.
Yeah, come on now.
That problem with the mic, huh?
Right, but you're like, it's a big fat dick.
You're afraid of the mic.
So the online magazine has not launched yet, but it is coming.
November. We just got a lot of things going on. We had a promotional shoot with some promo models. We had our Playboy-esque pictures taken over at the Artisan last week. You know, we're just doing a lot of interviews. We're interviewing you guys, doing a write-up on you guys.
Yeah.
Trying to get Jimmy Greenup involved. I don't know if you guys know what Jimmy Greenup is.
Oh, the Jimmy Greenup?
Do you know who the
Jimmy
Greenup
is? No, we don't.
Jimmy Greenup used to be
that
the...
That was really good.
Well, he used to be the mood director over at Tao.
Because you know we club.
Yeah. But, you know, we're trying to...
Do you say the mood director?
A mood director.
There's a mood director?
He's the reason there is a mood director.
Wow.
I mean, I know they got half-naked girls swimming in a fake tub. I mean, is that the mood?
No, that's not the mood.
Okay. Oh.
He hypes up the crowd kind of deal. He didn't like wearing a suit, so he would dress up like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, dress up in robot costumes, and just kind of get
crazy. Been a long time since I've been to town.
Yeah, when did they do that?
Well, he's not in Vegas anymore. He's in Miami. But when I started doing a magazine, he was like one of the first people I wanted to jump on board. So I talked to him, and he said it was fine, but now he has to talk to his boss to make sure it's okay that he's in a magazine like this and blah blah blah. So that's my dilemma right now, is getting him on board
because it's so naughty.
I don't know if that's why. I don't know. I think
how naughty is Naughty
because
Pie?
We're trying to set him up. Is how naughty is it?
Yeah,
it's naughty. It's real naughty.
Is it like piss naughty?
No, it's not piss naughty. It's naughty. We got Playboy ass pictures and. That's basically it. It's nightlife with a side of, you know.
Of ass.
Yeah, side of ass and some, a little bit of comedy going on. That's all.
Sounds good to me.
Awesome. Well, we're anxiously awaiting the launch.
Oh, I'm anxiously awaiting the launch. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun little online magazine. You guys will like it, I think.
Awesome. I bet we read it.
Awesome.
I bet you'll read yours.
Well, at least you're one with us in it.
Hey, as long as you keep updating on Facebook, I'll read it.
Yeah.
You don't even go to Facebook.
I don't.
What do you do? Like, once
what are you
a
talking
week?
About? Just yeah, reading well, on yeah. Facebook.
But you're not. Oh, this dog's no. In my leg.
Better you than me.
Get off of him, Naughty Pie.
You wanted it naughty.
What do you mean, what about Facebook?
You're not on there that much.
I have. No, I'm on there all the time. I just haven't been posting anything lately.
No, my bad.
Sorry. I've been there.
Sorry, Charlie.
Do you misstart? You missed start like posting shit? I am checking in at Albert's.
Well, have you checked out my new Naughty Pie page? You probably don't have it now.
Well, I had the one where the girl, the logo is the girl up against the thing.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Thing.
See? She's like, the logo is like, her ass is like
that translates well on radio.
No, no.
She's standing up with her back and her ass out.
Well, yeah, that's our logo. Yeah,
yeah. So I see.
No,
it.
We changed up our Facebook.
And I see
remember
your pictures.
It was an Audi before. Remember
Ing Audi? Yeah, now it's
but it's
actually,
not. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not
I'm still on it. I'm still on it.
Hey, we're improving. It's getting better. It's you know, it's a live and learn experience type thing. You know.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have comments.
Told me when I was hatched, act like a superstar. Save your allowance, buy a bubble dress, and someday you will go far. Now on red carpets, well, I'm hard to miss. The press follows everywhere I go. I'll poke your eye out with a dress like this. Back up and enjoy the show. Sure, my critics will say it's a grotesque display. Well, they can fight me, baby, I perform this way. I might be wearing Swiss cheese or maybe covered with bees. It doesn't mean I'm crazy, I perform this way. Perform this way. To my little monster's pain. Life's cause I perform this way. Baby, I perform this way. Perform this way. Oh, don't worry, I'm okay. Hey, I just perform this way. I'll be a troll or evil queen. I'll be a human jelly bean. Cause every day is Halloween. I'm so completely original. My new look is all the rage. I'll wrap my small intestines round my neck and set fire to myself on stage. I'll wear a porcupine on my head on a W-H-I-L. Hey, hey, hey! And for no reason, now I'll sing in French. Excusez-moi qui a pété. Got my straight jacket today. It's made of gold and we'll make. No, not because I'm crazy, I perform this way. I strap my rib to my feet, cover myself with raw meat. I'll bet you've never seen a skirt stay worn this way. Don't be offended when you see my latest pop monstrosity. I'm strange, weird, shocking, odd, bizarre. I'm Frankenstein, I'm Avatar. There's nothing too embarrassing. I'll honestly do anything but wear white after Labor Day. Cause baby, I perform this way.
Hope you won't think it's cliche if I go nude today. Don't call the cops now, baby, I perform this way. No reason I should regret all the attention I get. I'm not completely crazy, I perform this way, yeah. I perform this way, hey. I perform this way, hey. I'm always deviating from the norm this way, hey. I perform this way, hey. I perform this way, hey. I'm really not insane, I just perform this way, hey.
This Ralph Emery. Yeah, Ralph Emery, the best jockey who plays country western cowboy records on electric radio. Yeah, well, this is Don Bowman. Bowman. Yes, sir. I got a new record out, and I sent you 500 copies, and I ain't heard it played yet. And I just... What? Hello? Hello? Well, you brought me...
Pop the top on one more beer. Hold the phone up to your ear. Dial that number one more time. Get that DJ on the line.
Hello, Mr. Emery. This Don Bowman again. Yeah. Listen, I got this new record out, like I was telling you, on Lard Bucket Records, and it's called, I bet, Lard Bucket. You think that's funny, huh? Well, f*** you. the Ralph Emery Show and hot sounding either. Yeah, super mouth. I've heard your radio show. All I was calling about is seeing if you'd played my record on your show. Well, what do you want, flowers? Hello?
Pop the top on one more beer. Hold the phone up to your ear. Dial that number one more time. Get that DJ on the line.
Hello. Hey, Emery. This Don Bowman. Look, sweetheart, you hang up that phone again. I'm gonna mash your ass. You bet your sweet pooper. I called up nice and polite to ask you to play my record on your radio show, and you get cute. Nobody likes a smart Emery. All I want is you to play the record and with Martha White and her flower, and the truck stops too. Yeah. What about the 500 copies? You sell them, you s***. Hello? Hello? Well, you rotten
sound. Pop the top on one more beer. Hold the phone up to your ear. Dial that number one more time. Get that DJ on the line.
Hello? Hey, dummy. You hang up that phone again, and I'm gonna stop the I sent you 500 copies of the record, and it ain't been played yet. Now play the radio. I come up there and whip.
This is Rebecca from the Rockin' Comedy Show. And if you're anything like me, you're always on the go. If you're planning a corporate event, working out, or getting the news ready for the Rockin' Comedy Show, whatever it is that keeps you moving, then all you have to do is try ZipFizz. It's all natural. It's not like all those other energy drinks that leave you with that hard crash. Just put it in your water and you are ready to go. Plus, I like all the different flavors. You can try grape, you can try orange or lemon. From their powdered formula to the instant shot, it really works for people on the go who just need that extra 4 to 5 hour boost. Visit them at ZipFizz.com or wherever ZipFizz is sold.
This is Chris Reject here. As a fan of comedy music, I want to tell you about this awesome CD from Dino Mike. It's called
actually it's Chimericana.
Anyway, it's great. Favorites like
Banter, no one will know how to get so clever.
And
my homies know that I'm totally cool when I drive up with my school on rims to my private school.
And don't forget about
She wants a
baby mama, baby mama, baby mama.
So pick up your copy of Chimerishers.
Chimericana.
It can be found at dynamite.com. And with his other albums, but
Chimericana
is the best one to date. Did I mention it also has...
Cause she's a dork-whore. Saving geeks like you and me, she's a dork-whore.
So order your copy of
Chimericana
today at dynamite.com.
It's Crazy Jay.
Stupid idea.
Way to go, stupid.
Stupid. Yep, that's me. I'm that stupid.
Welcome to the Rockin' Comedy Show. We're up here on the 44th floor. And it's now time for comments. And we're going to get things started with a pretty simple comment that is from Seth Turner. But he signed his name as Sam Higgins. Just says Sam Higgins. Sam Higgins.
Sam Higgins.
Our next one is from Minnesota. Likes it because it tickles, right? Great job with the last show. Martin was a great guest.
He is a good guest, and even though he's a hitter.
Yeah, a bumper.
Bumper.
A malicious bumper. We can talk about that because Brian knows Arian Black. Don't you?
Arian Black?
Yeah, the magician, the female magician. She used to work with Larry G. Jones and...
I don't think anybody knows who
she
is.
Oh, I probably know her more if I see her. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. Remembering now.
It stinks, but what the hell, from Arkansas, right? Hey, Rockin' Comedy Show. Love the game you played on Seth last week. What fun to surprise your guests like that. You should do more of these games. And we will. From Georgia, writes A Spaz. How about doing Goodbye Yellow Brick Road?
I love that.
Brock Lee writes, hey, Rockin' Comedy Show. Just saw Weird Al in concert this past weekend. It's one of the best concerts he's done to date. Rebecca, you have never seen him live, so for sure you're going to enjoy this weekend.
Yay.
Jay, how many times have you seen him in concert? Over 40 times, my friends. Over 40 wow. times.
You've seen him over 40 times?
Yeah. When I worked at Knott's Berry Farm, growing up in high school, he performed a week, and he did 3 shows a day, so I was there like every day working in the theater as a maitre d', sitting people down and stuff. So yeah, I got
to... Does he think you're a stalker?
No. No, I'm far from the stalker fans that he has.
You're tame.
Yeah, I'm tame. No, I just go to the concerts. I enjoy them. They're a lot of fun. And then when you go this Saturday, you'll know why. They're just a lot of fun.
I've seen his videos. Not just the music videos, but his concert videos.
Right. And it's a lot of fun. From Arizona, we have Carrie DaBaby.
That's good.
It is good. I like that one. You guys sound like you have that you guys love the party and throw successful parties. Jane Gang, best memory you have of drinking and a WTF kind of night. The first time I drank with Rebecca when she became the news girl. And we went to the Paris after a night of...
Jaeger.
That's a fun one. From Connecticut, Crispy Bacon writes...
Clever.
Hey, Jay, the game we dropped your wife on Seth was awesome. Had me laughing. You should try and do this with other guests you have coming on. Brilliant. Yeah, we'll think about it. From Montana, Dick Trickle writes...
Dick Trickle.
The news segments seem to be getting shorter, and I love the news, but Rebecca, what's the story?
I don't know.
I think you just answered it.
There ain't much.
Your iPad.
I'm going back to my MacBook, bitches. iPad doesn't function well enough for...
From California, Dwayne Pipe... Dwayne Pipe writes, Jay, I've been listening to your show since the start of it on internet radio and have heard it change formats a lot. You have heard this next part a lot, but right now the show is the best it has ever been.
Yay.
And when you took that Skype call from Spaz, everyone in the room seemed shocked. Just imagine what your listeners thought. You have done incredible things with the show, and Spaz and Rebecca are an awesome team. You guys truly, truly seem to love each other. No. And the feeding of insults is priceless. Jay, good job, man. I'm a new fan all over again. I'm enjoying the ride.
Aww.
From Nevada, Gay Hooker writes... Met Bonnie Mazel for the first time at the Swingers Grand Opening. What a sweetheart. Yeah, that was definitely a fun time at the Grand Opening of Swingers Club. Down there playing some mini golf while you're drinking and listening to dueling pianos. And big congratulations to Bonnie, who's pregnant. Yeah.
What? There goes her career.
She's awesome. And congratulations to her and Joel for they're going to be tying the knot in 3 weeks. So now her career is really over.
No shit. Winner.
I have an odor from California. Rock and Comedy Show, I would like to hear Too High for the Supermarket by The Uninvited. I love The Uninvited. I know now they're called Fish Ranch Road. It's been a while since they've played live. Any ideas what's going on with JT and the gang? JT is actually going to be a guest next week on the show, so we'll ask him that question for you. Or you can call in and ask him yourself.
Yay.
Works just that way. And our last one from California, Seymour Wiener.
Ah.
RCS, you guys are awesome. I love the show. Love Rebecca. She just makes me laugh so much.
Oh, I'm just hilarious.
Cracks me up every day. You are listening to the Rockin' Comedy Show. Coming up, we've got Mark Savard. We're going to have a lot of fun with him, find out what he's been up to, and playing We Dropped Your Wife on You.
We Dropped Your Wife on You.
Still have the Crazy 8 Countdown and an interview that I did with a very funny... Very funny lady named Carla Ulbricht. She Skyped in during the week, and we tested it out. And you can actually catch the video interview of that on our website if you go to rockandcomedyshow.com. Speaking of that, if you also head over to rockandcomedyshow.com, I believe starting tomorrow, the TV show that we did with Sunset Thomas will be...
Yay, the orgy.
Will be posted up there, and that was a lot of fun. So if you guys didn't get a chance to see that, it will be running up on our website until they tell us to take it down. Because it's naughty. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more of the show right after this.
It's been a whole week now, don't you know? Waiting for the Crazy J Show. Some monkey business could lighten our load. A little laughter, a little glow. I know Jay has something in store. Come on, Jay, can you give us eight more? Come on, Jay, don't make us wait. We just want our crazy eight. I've marked my calendar with the date. Here it is, folks. It's number eight. It's number eight. It's number eight. It's number eight. It's number eight.
Oh, are we doing this already? We're starting the Crazy Eight countdown. The top eight songs of the week. All right, well then let's get things started with number eight. It's a classic from Barnes & Barnes. They're having fun with Annette Funicello song, Pineapple Princess. Here it is at number eight.
Come on, surfers, let's take our beach party to the beautiful island of Oahu, where we can have sex and get wasted.
Pineapple Princess, he calls me Pineapple Princess all day as he plays his ukulele on the hill above the bay. Pineapple Princess, I love you. The sweetest boy I've seen. Someday we're gonna marry and you'll be my pineapple queen.
I saw a boy on a Oahu Isle, floating down the bay on a crocodile. He waved at me and he swam ashore, and I knew he'd be mine forevermore.
Pineapple Princess, he calls me Pineapple Princess all day as he plays his
heaven?
Heaven? Hardly. This is the Crazy J Show. It's many things, but it's not heaven.
Then why are we discussing heaven?
Because it rhymes with seven.
Seven, as in the seven deadly sins?
No, as in number seven on the Crazy Eight countdown.
Number seven.
Number seven.
My girl baby sits with someone on her block. Then I come up to join her and we start to rock. The baby hears the beat, man, it is a shock.
When he goes,
a rocking type of boogie is the kind of song that makes this little baby want to sing along. And though he maybe gets the tune a little wrong, he still goes. Sings. He is a holly golly bouncing baby boy. You know the record player is his favorite toy. And don't forget he's everybody's pride and joy when he goes. Take the bet, but surely he's the youngest teenager yet, and probably the hippest of the diaper set as he goes.
Come on, I like that.
He strolls in his stroller with the radio on. He doesn't go to sleep until the music's gone. He imitates the singer in the group with a low-down voice. And when it's time to tuck him in his little bed, with all that music running through his sleepy head, the little fella doesn't say goodnight. Instead, he says,
"Boogie, boogie, boogie, all night."
Indeed, a novelty classic coming in at number 7 on our countdown, Buzz Clifford and the Babysitting Boogie. You are listening to the Rockin' Comedy Show. This is Crazy J. We're starting the Crazy 8 countdown. Song number 8 was Barnes & Barnes and their song called Pineapple Princess, their tribute to Annette Funicello. Let's move on down to the countdown, shall we?
Ain't no tricks, got my fix. Number 6 on the Crazy 8 countdown.
Now, dear, what can the matter be? 7 old ladies locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they was there. The first was the wife of a deacon in Dover, and though she was known as a bit of a rover, she liked it so much that she thought she'd stay over, and nobody knew she was there. Oh dear, what can the matter be? 7 old ladies locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they was there. The next was an athletic lady named Myrtle, hopped over the top like a steeplechase hurdle. Her glasses got hooked in the stay of her girdle. Nobody knew she was there. Oh dear, what can the matter be? 7 old ladies locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they was there. Now the next old lady was Abigail Humphrey, who settled inside to make herself comfy. But then she found out she could not get her bum free. Nobody knew she was there. Oh dear, what can the matter be? 7 old ladies locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they was there. The next old lady was old Mrs. Bickle, who found herself caught in a desperate pickle. She stopped at a pay booth and hadn't a nickel, so nobody knew she was there. Oh dear, what can the matter be? 7 old ladies locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they was there. The next was the Bishop of Chichester's daughter, who went in to pass some superfluous water. She pulled on the chain and the rising tide caught her. Nobody knew she was there. Oh dear, what can the matter be? 7 old ladies were locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they was there. The next old lady, Elizabeth Bender, was doing all right till a vagrant suspender got all twisted up in her feminine gender, and nobody knew she was there. Oh dear, what can the matter be? Seven old ladies locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they was there. The last was a lady named Jennifer Pym. She only sat down on a personal whim, but she somehow got pinched twixt the cup and the brim, and nobody knew she was there. Oh dear, what can the matter be? Seven old ladies locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they was there.
Oscar Brand coming in at number 6 on the Crazy 8 Countdown with Seven Old Ladies. Number 7 was The Babysitting Boogie by Buzz Clifford. And number 8 was Pineapple Princess by Barnes and Barnes. At number 8, you are listening to the Rockin' Comedy Show. I'm Crazy Jay. We've started the Crazy 8 Countdown. That's right, we count down the top 8 songs of the week throughout the show. I want to take this opportunity to let you know we're doing something new on the show, something cool. It's kind of new. I mean, we've taken phone calls from listeners before in the past, but we've never done it with a Skype line, and we can do it now. Anybody can call. You don't even need to have Skype. Just give us a call on our Skype number, 702-866-9135. We do tape the show every Wednesday, 7:30 to 10:30, so go ahead, give us a call, 702-866-9135. Remember, you can find us on Facebook. Our fan page is Rockin' Comedy Show. We're on Twitter at Rockin' Comedy, and you can go to the website, www.rockingcomedyshow.com. That's R-O-C-K-I-N-G, comedyshow.com. A lot of you like to go there and leave comments. Why not give us a call? We'd love to hear from you. Again, that number is 702-866-9135. Write it down. Next week, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Coming up, an interview that I did with Carla Albrecht on Skype. I've never done a Skype interview before, so that's going to be exciting to have that for you. And we've also got Mark Savard, a great hypnotist here in town, who's going to be coming in and talking with us, and so much more going on. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of the show right after this.
Identity, don't keep your business unprotected.
Do you drive a Magnum or a smart car? Practice safe advertising. Wrap it up.
Identity!
We have vehicle wraps starting as low as $4.99.
Say my name.
Identity. We have the hottest graphic designers standing by. Call us at 361-0032.
Hey, this is Spaz from the Rockin' Comedy Show. If you have dreams of becoming a model or an actress, or you have a band or act that needs representation, you need to check out VegasTalents.com. Their staff of trained professionals will help steer your career in entertainment in the right direction. Being an entertainer myself, I understand how hard it is to make it on your own. Do yourself a favor and listen to your buddy Spaz. Don't do it by yourself. Have the right people talking for you. And they are at VegasTalents.com. Check it out.
Okay, hi, this is Ava Devine, and you're listening to the RockingComedyShow.com.
My name is Carla. It is not Darla. It is not Clara, Carol, Claire, Marla, or Starla. My middle initial is a K. It stands for K. But the first name is C-A-R-L-A. Carla Albrecht, what's in a name? A name is a name is a name is a name is a name. As for the last name, here's the hitch. Looks like it should be pronounced Ulbricht. But we say Albrecht, though there's no K in sight. We were German, we would say it right. A German name. A rose that had my name would smell the same. I was in Borders, standing in line. Book of baby names caught my eye. Under Carla, it said Stacy Charles. I thought it was good of Stacy Carl, because that's my dad's name and my granddad's. They tried for a boy, and the closest one they had under Charles, almost uncanny. Charles's definition is manly.
The Rockin' Comedy Show, and joining us on our Skype line is Carla Ulbricht. She's a very funny lady. Yay! We've played her music over the years, songs like What If Your Boyfriend Was Gone, and of course, If I Own the Copyright. So, how are you, Carla?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome to the Rockin' Comedy Show.
Thank you. Great to finally get to talk to you on the show.
Right. Yeah, we've tried to set it up in the past, and things just don't work out.
we're both very important people, very busy people.
And how you doing?
I'm doing really well.
How's the comedy going for you?
Oh, it's fun. Writing a lot of new stuff this summer, a lot of new jokes. I won't try too many new jokes out on you. But yeah, boom. And, you know, I've got a book out, so I've been running around reading chapters from the book at book signings and stuff. And it's neat because it's like new, you know, my first book.
What is the book about?
It is called How Can You Not Laugh in a Time Like This? And it's a bunch of humorous essays about surviving catastrophic illness, and then even worse, surviving the healthcare system.
And I mean, speaking of an illness, you got pretty sick back in 2002, right?
I did, yes. Had kidney failure and a couple of strokes. Had to relearn to play the guitar all over again. And that's when I wrote that CD, Sick Humor, that's all medical songs.
Right. Good stuff on some of that. Like we said, this is our first official Skype interview with a guest, but I saw something the other day. You did your first Skype guitar lesson with somebody.
Oh, yeah, I did. That was hard. Yeah? You can't see their fingers.
So, yeah, this is, I mean, technology's great, isn't it?
It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. If you think about it at all, what we can do that we couldn't even dream about doing 20, 30 years ago is frightening.
Yeah. Now, how long have you been doing how long have you been in the comedy business?
Boy, it's hard to say exactly when it started, but I don't know, maybe about 10 years. I started writing songs a good 20 years ago, but they were very serious, earnest songs, what we call os, as in os, and morose.
Right.
Very serious, sad songs about broken relationships. And my friends, you know, they wanted to be supportive and keep coming to hear me play at coffee houses and stuff, but they couldn't take it anymore. So they'd say, Carla, could you please write something upbeat? So that's when I started writing upbeat songs about broken relationships. So far, they didn't figure out it was the same topic, just just upbeat now. But that's... I don't know. I used to sing my morbid songs, but then I would tell funny songs in between, and funny stories in between. And it finally occurred to me to turn the stories into songs.
Right.
Now, so it's sort of a transition. I can't say I started out, ooh, I'm going to write funny songs. I was just like, I'm going to write songs. And then I realized that if I wrote funny songs, people might actually come back to hear me a second time.
Right. Now, did you, I mean, so the comedy, you sort of, what you're saying is you sort of fell into it accidentally. That wasn't the road you wanted to take.
I won't say that. I mean, I certainly enjoyed it once I started it, but it wasn't, yeah, it wasn't like I laid out a business plan or like any of us lay out a business plan, but it wasn't like, it wasn't like as if we did, we'd be like, this isn't going to work. but it wasn't like I said, oh, I'm going to be Weird Al or I'm going to be, you know, Ray Stevens. There's an old reference for you. But it wasn't like I decided from the beginning that I was going to do that. I just had all these things to say, and the only way I could figure out how to say them was to turn them into songs. And I just sort of realized, because I always, going along from being a little kid, I just always dealt with stuff by making a joke out of it. So it was natural when I finally started doing that.
Right.
It just, I wasn't obvious to me. I'm always the last to know that that's what I should have been doing.
Now, do you think if you would have kept going the way you were going with the straight non comedic songs, do you think you would have been more successful than you are now? Because I mean, I see your name pop up everywhere. So, like doing serious stuff, do you think you would have gotten a little farther?
No.
She's like, no. My funny songs is the best.
No, I think the humor song's who I am. So I think, you know, as an artist, it's important to be authentic. It just took me a while to figure out, you know, I should just be who I am on stage instead of taking everything so seriously. I'm on stage, you know. I have to make a point and change thoughts, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, you know, that was raised classical guitar and, you know, the marching band. So everything was very serious. You can't move. When you play classical guitar, you have to sit a certain way. Every elbow and finger has to be at a certain angle. Everything has to be perfect. So, and, you know, as a music major, so wow, talk about sucking the life out of music. So I had compartmentalized music as something very serious, whereas the rest of my life was just a big goofball. But music, oh, that's serious. And then finally, I had to kind of detox from my education and realize, hey, wait, music is full of life. It should be fun and lively and reflect who you are. And not, you shouldn't be all squashed when you're making music. So we're getting deep here. This is like a therapy session. Am I going to pay you at the end of this?
No, no. I'm the crazy one, remember? but I mean, you've had, of course, a number of hits on the Dr. Demento show. We've played your stuff over the years, of course. Like I mentioned earlier, What If Your Girlfriend Was Gone and stuff like that. We love good stalking kind of songs here on the show.
well, thank you.
Would you be willing to do something for us now on the Rockin' Comedy Show?
Sure. I'll have my pedal,
his
my grandfather call it. How about something really cheesy?
Okay.
Unless you're lactose intolerant. Okay, this is, I like to make a, this is the kind of annoying humor I did when I was a kid. In an orchard in California, way too hard. Were combined. The strainer's needless because they're seedless, and they call them clementines.
That's very good.
For my collection of songs under 1 minute. Let's see, what else have I got for you here? Well, this is for people who share a refrigerator. If you want me to pick up something next time that I go to the grocery store, put it on the list. Write it on the back of a napkin, type it up and print it out. I don't care, just put it on the list. Did he want a squash or a zucchini? Seedy macaroni or linguine? Should have seen me, you can bet that I'll forget why I came if I don't have it in writing. So, put it on the list. Write it on the back of a napkin, type it up and print it out. I don't care, just put it on the list. Did he tell me Windex or fantastic? Wonder if we need a tube of chapstick, paper or plastic. If you want to use it or eat it, write it down. Don't make me repeat it. Just put it on the list.
Nice. Carla Ulbrich,
I don't do all parodies, but I started writing parodies when I had the stroke and I couldn't use my hand, my left hand.
Right.
And I thought, well, I can keep writing. I'll just steal other people's music and write my own words to it.
Now, you're really good friends with Grandpa Choco of Throwing Toasters.
I love Grant. He's so fun. We used to do a lot of internet radio back when I was going to California more often.
Right. Now, he encouraged you, or I guess I should say you encouraged him to do a parody one time of On the Road Again.
I did.
Yeah.
It was a great filthy parody. It's usually really, really clean, but, you know, it was just so funny to hear him being dirty that I'm like, oh, you got to do that.
Yeah, bust out one time. Do one dirty song.
You got to have one up your sleeve for, you know, when the hecklers start getting the best of you, and that's when he uses it.
But I mean, you have no problems doing dirty songs. I mean, you wrote If I Own the Copyright, you know, which is featured on a Red Peters album.
I actually don't swear on stage. I never swear on stage. And I did this song, you know, the copyright song. I sing it bleeped with the bleeper because I can't swear on stage.
Right.
I'm from the South. And the one time I sang that, actually, I've sung that song twice on stage, not bleeped. And one time I was at the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville, and they're super conservative, and I don't know how I got away with that and didn't get dragged out and tarred and feathered in the street. I don't know how I got away with that. I guess it was so many swear words that they're like, well, there's no hope for her. She's going straight to hell. We'll let the afterlife take care of her. Because they'd have people like say one swear word, like they break a string and say one swear word, and they'd be like, you're never playing here again. And then I get up here and like 27 of them in the song on purpose. Nothing.
Now, what inspired you to write that song?
I was standing around outside the Bluebird, actually, and with a friend of mine, songwriter Steve Key. And somebody walks by, and they're obviously from, like, New York or New Jersey, and they're like, effing this, effing that, and they're actually saying the F word, right? It just sounds like a bunch of chickens. And he looks at me and goes, man, if I had the copyright on that word, I'd be a rich man. And I said, Steve, you got to write that song. He goes, you can't write a song about that. I'm like, no, totally, it'd be a great song. He's like, you can't write a song about that. So, like, half hour later, I'm talking to the cook at the Bluebird, who's also, of course, a songwriter. Everybody at the Bluebird is a songwriter. And we're going out to dinner because there's like nowhere to eat. We had to go clear across town. They roll up the sidewalk in Nashville at 9 o'clock. And then we're in the car, and I go, so I'm going to write this song because Steve's not going to write it about how rich I'd be if I had copyright on the F word song. I mean, on the F word. And he goes, looks at me and goes, you can't write a song about that. So that's it. I'm doing it. I wrote it in the car on the way home because I'm like, two people telling me I can't do it. That's totally, totally motivating to me, being told I can't do it.
Yeah, basically, they're just daring you to do it.
Yeah, I took it as a dare, but they really thought you couldn't do it. They were like, because, you know, Nashville, they think inside the box and all that. And I had just broken free from my life of having to sit properly playing the classical guitar. I'm not going to have people tell me what I can't write a song about. So.
Now, did you, how did it get in the hands of Red Peters? Did you submit it?
Well, I don't know.
She's like,
I don't remember.
I don't know. I just got a check for it. It was great.
I did, and that $6 was so awesome.
I mean, the first time I heard that song, I was like, wow, that's so unusual for her, but it's great. You know?
And you said, you can't write a song about that.
Yeah, why'd she write a song about that? No, I actually never crossed, but I was just surprised you did it. I'm sure it could have been written. I'm just glad it was written by a woman, not a man. You would think a man would write that song. That would be the thing.
I think part of what makes it funny is you don't expect it coming out of my mouth. Because I don't swear on stage. You know, it's always clean. The dirtiest thing I do is poop jokes. And we're having a discussion about poop jokes. I don't know. How clean is your show?
Oh, we have no standards.
Oh, great. Okay. So last night, I was talking to a friend. I go, look, I don't understand why people can't see the difference between poop jokes and dick jokes. There's a very big, big difference. All right?
Right.
Poop jokes. You can tell a three-year-old poop jokes, and you won't be sent to jail. You're not going to get on a special list of poop offenders.
Right.
Not be allowed in a bathroom anywhere within 50 yards of a school.
So, but a lot of guys don't see the difference. So I'll be sitting around telling poop jokes, and then some guy chimes in with, "Yeah, so I was jacking off into a sock," and I'm like, "No, no, how do we lead from poop jokes to that? I don't want to hear that." There's a big difference. You may have your pants down for both activities, hopefully, but that does not mean it's the same thing. Totally different. So poop jokes in my mind, because you can tell them to kids, and it's okay because everybody poops. Totally different. So to me, poop jokes, although they're disgusting, they're clean.
They are clean. Depending on, well, I guess it all depends on how you tell it. If you say,
well, yeah, unless you're talking about like brown showers or something.
Or if you don't say poop.
Right. That's funny too, right? Yeah, that's weird. It can be a poop joke, but if you use the S word, now it's not
a cute joke. Now it's a dirty joke.
Wow, that's deep. I hadn't thought of that.
Maybe I can help you with your therapy.
Exactly.
But, I mean, we started playing your stuff when, you know, you had songs out there like Toasted Chicken Sandwiches. And, of course, the biggest hit ever on the show was What If Your Girlfriend Was Gone. What inspired that bad relationship?
Oh, actually, you know what inspired that? This was really frightening. I think it came from my subconscious, that song. I wrote down the words hypothetically and theoretically on a piece of paper because I thought it would be fun to rhyme them. And then I went to bed. I woke up and wrote the song. It just came out. So my sick little subconscious wrote that song, actually.
Nice. Well, would you mind doing that one, a little bit of it?
Sure. Be happy to.
Be awesome.
My big hit, I call it.
It is pretty big.
I call it that because I got my first piece of hate mail from it. Not the only piece. Just the first piece. That's when you know you're doing something good.
Exactly.
People write in and say things like, oh, they smashed my cassette. This tells you how long ago it was. It's like 1997 or something. They smashed my cassette and mailed it to me.
Oh, nice.
That's hate mail. I was just wondering, hypothetically, what would you do? Theoretically, if something should happen accidentally, chromatically, what if your girlfriend was gone? If she died in a fire from a broken light fixture or happened to swallow a poisonous mixture, would I find my way back into the picture if you were suddenly alone? Or would you call me up? Would you write me a letter? Would you tie a message to your Irish setter? Try to get through so we could be together? What if your girlfriend was gone? If she disappeared without a trace and everyone looked all over the place, why do you have that look on your face? It's not like I have any plans. But if I were around and I could appease you and she was suddenly struck with amnesia and never again would be able to please you, would you still want to be her man? Would you call me up? Would you write me a letter? Would you tie a message to your Irish setter? Try to get through so we could be together? What if your girlfriend was gone? Of course, as you know, I'm a very nice girl, a beacon of light in a cold, cruel world. Evil plans I could never carry out, but who can blame me for wondering about if something should happen? Hypothetically, what would you do? Theoretically, if something should happen accidentally, dramatically, what if your girlfriend was gone? Would you call me up? Would you write me a letter? Would you tie a message to your Irish setter? Try to get through so we could be together? What if your girlfriend was gone? Would you walk away from a deep, deep ocean, put a letter in a bottle and throw it in the ocean? Realize it, you got a notion to give me my long overdue promotion. Let's go with ending number two. Would you tie me up in a chain and fetter? Photograph me with your Irish setter? Do all those things that used to upset her? What if your girlfriend was gone?
It's Carl Ulbrich here on the Rockin' Comedy Show. Now, do you tweet?
I tweet.
You're on Facebook.
I tweet a lot, though. I'm a little more of a Facebook person.
Yeah. And you have a website. So how can people order your music? CD Baby, iTunes, all that stuff?
Yeah, it's all over that place, all the places that usually find music. And CarlaU.com is easy. CARLAU.com. I gave up on anybody spelling my last name.
In fact, you even wrote a song about it.
I did. I wrote a song about how everybody messes up my name.
Well, it's awesome to finally meet you face to face. I think you've called in once or twice over the years, but we've never physically met. So I guess to help with Skype, we can actually, you know, finally see each other.
It does add another dimension. That's cool.
It does. It really helps booking interviews too with people that live on the East Coast.
But, yeah.
But we want to thank you for Skyping in today and saying hey, and we'll continue to play your music because it makes us laugh for sure.
Well, thank you.
And again, this is the Rockin' Comedy Show, Carla Ulbrich. Look for her on Facebook. She'll tweet every once in a while. And of course, her website. Here's a question. Do you still have a MySpace page?
Oh, you know, I can't get rid of this stupid thing. It's like it joined a cult or something, or the mob. And there's somebody else. They mix up our music. So if you go to my MySpace page, there's like my music, but also this other girl named Carla who's like from Texas and does gospel music. Totally different ball of wax there. So it's not a really useful. So yeah, don't go there unless you just want to go, hey, let's pretend Carla's a gospel artist. the word gospel means good news, and I don't know if your girlfriend was gone, it's really good news.
I thought I got rid of my MySpace too, and I saw it. I did a search the other day, and it came up. Most of it's gone, but I still have like 4 or 5 pictures up there. So I guess, you know, Tom's busy pulling down everybody's pictures that have left, you know. Because I was like, wow, I hadn't even seen it, and they did some like updates with it, and I was like, okay, but it's interesting to see how MySpace was on top of everything, and now it's like completely gone, and Facebook is just, you know, taken over.
I think maybe Tom's in denial. You know, you cancel your account, and he's like, no, they'll come back. Yeah. Or no, they'll come crawling back to me.
See, now there's a song somebody should write, you know. What happened to MySpace? Anyway, Carla, I want to thank you so much for stopping in and Skyping us today.
Yeah, thanks for the conversation. It was really lovely.
And anytime you want to try out a new song, Skype us up. We'll be ready.
All right.
Thank you, girl.
Bye. Okay, bye, Jay.
Attention race fans, are you ready for the experience of a lifetime? Come down and experience the feel of real racing at Fast Lap Indoor Road Racing. Sunday. Located at 4288 South Polaris in fabulous Las Vegas, just minutes from the strip, Fast Lap will strap you into a 200cc open-wheeled rocket of adrenaline for the racing experience of a lifetime. And if you mention the Rockin' Comedy Show Sunday through Friday night, you'll get 3 races for $25. How much? I said $25. Oh, my God! Fast Lap Indoor Kart Racing. You gotta be there!
Fast Lap Indoor Kart Racing opens Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday, Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Visit www.fastlaplv.com or www.rockingcomedyshow.com for more details.
Hey, this is Crazy Jay from the Rockin' Comedy Show, and I'm here with...
This is Mark Curry, and this is real deal stuff coming from the basement.
Are you getting ready to try some Zip Fizz over there?
Mm-hmm. Zip Fizz makes me feel like a man. Every time I come on the Rockin' Comedy Show, I have a Zip Fizz, and I fly home. Yeah. Oh, this is good.
That's good, right?
The fizz is good.
Yeah, keep you up for your show tonight.
Yeah, gives you 4 to 6 hours of energy right there. So check out ZipFizz.com for where it's sold. Hey, Mike, don't you think 12 inches is kind of big?
Dude, it's huge, but I can handle it. I've done it before.
When?
Last week. Twice.
Wow, and how did you feel afterward?
Well, I was pretty full, not gonna lie.
So, has this become a weekly thing with you?
Well, I'm not trying to set a record or anything. I mean, come on, don't you think anything more than 12 inches is just ridiculous for one person?
Well, I guess I'll watch you today and see how it goes. But I think I'm going to try the meatloaf.
Yep, got to go with that 12-inch pizza again. Although, the Big Dick's burger does look good, too.
Wow, I've never been so gay for a 12-inch pizza in my life. Go check out Whiskey Dick's, located on 2750 East Craig Road. See you there.
You are listening to the Rockin' Comedy Show. We are up here on the 44th floor.
Yeah.
Yay. Look for us on Facebook. Our fan page is Rockin' Comedy Show. We're on Twitter at Rockin' Comedy. You can also tweet with Rebecca at Scrubecca.
Yeah, word.
Yeah. And be listening. Well, be paying attention to Twitter because you're going to be getting some special offers from the Rockin' Comedy Show for the Swingers Club.
Yeah, hello. Woo.
We had our first ever golf tournament in there the other night. That was pretty fun.
Yay.
It was Anthony Cools, Martin Andrew, Ross from the Third Degree. Amazing Jonathan was in there.
Amazing Jonathan. Is he still with that girl?
Who, Penny?
Yeah. I don't know, the one that looks like a drag queen.
Oh, yeah, that's his assistant, Psychic Tanya. Penny Wiggins, she's a great stand-up comedian. We've been trying to get her on the show, too.
I'm talking about Tanya, the freaking drag queen. I always thought they were together.
Oh.
I just, my favorite thing is when I saw him like, on a Segway pulling her around. She was dragged on the floor.
But it is time now for I Can't Get Behind That. We've got some things that irritate us that we want to get behind and, you know, maybe solve some problems. Mm. You ready?
Yeah, I'm so ready.
Did you ever figure out the one that you couldn't figure out last week?
Oh, no. I can't get behind me making notes when I'm drunk. I can't get behind that.
All right, Rebecca, why don't you start?
Okay, I want to know who the fuck has time for Words with Friends. God damn, if everybody's not talking about, I'm Words with Friends. Oh, God, I'm Words with Friends. I'm Words with Friends. Every time I turn around, my roommate's playing Words with Friends. With all these people, like...
It sounds to me like you're just jealous because nobody wants to play with you.
They know I can't spell. I would have to have my iPad open to play Words with Friends, and then I'd have to have my iPhone open to dictionary.com. But anyways, I mean, it's just like one of these ongoing games, like forever and ever. Like, and like, if the person doesn't play, do you have to, like, wait for them to get back to you?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds fucking annoying.
It's no more annoying than Angry Birds.
Oh, my. Oh, did you see Spaz's post on Angry Birds today? Oh, my God. It had, like, his kid on the ground with an Angry Bird. Like
killed her.
It was like an Angry Bird stuffed animal. That was awesome.
So you can't get behind Words with Friends.
Yeah. What the fuck? Everybody's talking. It's like it's a Scrabble. I never liked Scrabble. And I don't want to play that. I mean, I don't want to read or spell.
We know. We've heard your news.
I can't read anything.
Brian, you got anything?
You know, I really wish you had... I should have realized that this was going to happen. And no, right now.
All right. Well, think of one. And
I will.
We'll come back to you.
Thank you.
This goes back to one of yours about people that... walk with no purpose. How about people that just have no purpose? They're just standing around. They're in your way. You can't get by them. Like today, I'm trying to back my car up out of the parking spot, and the guy's just standing there walking around real slow. Ah, dude, you got 2 more seconds. I'm running you over. He's like smoking a cigarette, looking at the sky. What the? Why? Get the hell out of the way.
What is the purpose with this person?
Right, that's what I'm saying. So you have a problem with people that walk with no purpose.
Just breathing with no purpose.
Right, like just standing there wasting.
Spewing out carbon monoxide or carbon just dioxide.
Standing there wasting.
Space.
Space.
My brother used to have the best bumper sticker on his car. It said, save the planet, kill yourself. I fully believe in this. Look in the mirror right now. If you're a child molester, if you hit animals, besides me hitting Charlie, I don't hit him, I just nudge him hard. if you, you know who you are. Look in the mirror. If you are that person, jump out the third floor window. Oh, no, make it the fifth, because we want to make sure you die and not have to live off freaking Medicare. Die already. Kill yourself. Save the planet.
What about you, naughty nerd? You got anything?
I don't.
You got to have something that annoys you. You live in Vegas.
Yeah, get up. Step up to the mic, naughty nerd.
Come on. Well, there's got to be something that annoys you. Hotel life, you know.
I'm a waiter, so everything. A server.
Oh my god.
A server.
So
gotta get way up
a
on
lot
that
of
thing.
That
yeah, I'm a server, so everything annoys me. Basically.
Yeah.
The person that goes out to eat and they act like they've never been out to eat before, you walk up and, you know, it's like, what can I get you to drink? And they want to order first. That annoys me.
You're like, I didn't ask you that.
Right, I didn't ask you. Or when
I don't have time for all that.
I'm not ready to take your order,
exactly.
Sir.
Exactly. Or if I walk up and say, how's everybody doing today? My name's Anthony. Coffee. You know, and they don't say anything to me. And I'm like, well, how's everybody doing? They don't say nothing. And I'm like, well, me too. I'm doing good too. I can't stand that. I can't stand for no one not to answer.
You know what? I prefer them not to answer me. When I was a server, I don't think I'm your fucking entertainment. I think I should just be like a slithering slave and just go slither off and get your drinks and come back and slither and give them to you and then just go away. Like, right. It's your entertainment. I don't want to be the show of your freaking party.
Exactly.
Ta-da! Rebecca's here to serve you a blooming onion.
And I hate waiting on people, so...
Who does?
So being a waiter, is a great job.
It's the worst. It's like you'd rather be poor, but you're starting a magazine. You just don't have any choice.
You see how easy that is, Brian?
Yeah.
You got one?
I got one, and it has to do with pedestrians in Las Vegas. Who the hell gave them the right of way? Okay. I don't think pedestrians in Las Vegas should have the right of way.
They're the ugliest people on the planet.
They are. They impede traffic so bad that you can have Las Vegas Boulevard backed up from Flamingo to Sahara.
Thank God for the ones that count down now, and you have to get across the street.
Yeah, yeah.
Those don't even give you enough time. I'm quick.
But they don't even pay attention to the don't walk sign anyway they think they have the right of way.
They're idiots.
Yeah, yeah. They lose all control when they get to Vegas.
No, they're really. I'm sure they're idiots back in DeVerberville, Mississippi, too.
They probably are. We just didn't have to deal with them there. We only have to deal with them here. The other thing that I hate is when it actually, when somebody actually hits that pedestrian, and now they have to close all the lanes off so they can measure everything out to try to figure out how fast was the pedestrian going when it left the sidewalk. How fast was the car going when it hit the pedestrian? If you left point A at 72 mile an hour and you hit pedestrian B at 63 mile an hour, how many feet would it fly into the air before it flipped twice and landed on its head? Yes. So, yeah. Measure these skid marks, and as far as I'm concerned, if you're stupid enough to move out in front of a moving vehicle, you deserve to
You
die.
Deserve it.
You deserve it.
Yeah.
If you're in my drunken path.
So for pedestrians having the right of way, you can't get behind them.
Oh, no. They should never have the right of way because we are burning up precious fuels,
expensive.
Holding our foot on a brake, which sometimes won't release the park lever, and then you're stuck at a gas station.
This next one, Dick. This next one is one that I used to really get to me when I was a concierge, and it happened to me the other day. It's people who act like they're listening and they clearly don't, like giving instructions on how to get to a showroom or just basically directions in general to get somewhere, and they're like, yeah, and then they walk away and they come back and they go, so where was it?
While you were
It doesn't, you know, it's like I'm looking for a particular hotel, you want to go down the street, okay, and then they walk away and they go, you know, you didn't really give me clear directions on where to go.
That's why I just ask for the address and I quest it myself.
Yes, but when there are people like, you know, they go see Brian's show, they don't have GPSs.
No, they don't know what those initials stand for.
They want you to write it down in pencil.
In my pad.
And you put this in my pad. But yeah, people who act like they listen and they clearly don't, I can't get behind that.
Well, guess what I can't get behind? What? I hear that gang killings are coming back in fashion.
Oh.
Not just gang on gang, but like initiation gang killings. So I heard in North Las Vegas, there was some like two little girls walking from school and one was like stabbed and the other one was like burned to death. And I'm thinking, that is not good business. Because A, you could be selling drugs and not stabbing people and making some money. And B, that's just going to bring the heat on. I'm sure those two little kids deserved it. I mean, they are in North Las Vegas and they're walking. Gross. I mean, no, who would let their kids walk in this day and age? I mean, Vegas just screams.
When clearly you can rent scooters for $20
a
day.
But think about it. I mean, this day and age, children walking just say, hey, my parents don't love me. Take me and go rape me. And make child porn out of me. That's all that says. My parents don't give a shit. So, obviously, these two kids need to be put out of their misery anyways. But just bad for business gang killings for initiations, I think, you know?
Yeah.
It's not serving a purpose. Just taking up, you know, dead air.
If they would just kill people that didn't have a purpose, then it would be fine.
Then, exactly.
Then we could get behind.
Well, I'm sure those kids would grow up to have, you know, illegitimate babies and, you know, live on welfare anyways. But... anyways, I cannot get behind initiation gang killing. It's just a waste of time.
Naughty nerd.
have a kind of a story. I'll make it short. I had a buddy that moved to Miami about 3 years ago, and we think he was murdered here the same way. They stabbed him at his front door. Until this day, they don't know who did it. So, and he was a really good friend.
Well, thank you for bringing down the level of the comments.
I know. I'm sorry.
Hey, I'll pour my 40 out for him.
Just make me think about that. And,
it's like stupid.
It's
horrible. Yeah. It brings a bad rap to your gang because it's like, oh, your gang is so stupid. You can't think of anything real to do. So you have to kill miscellaneous people. Yeah, like, why don't you kill someone like, I was about to say someone very important, but I'm sure he would kill me after that. But someone important. It'd be fun. Like, oh, this is what we did. Look.
Right.
Bomb. Look, we killed this person, but not like some miscellaneous 12-year-old.
That is crazy. Yeah.
Brian.
I blanked.
You blanked?
I blanked.
You don't have anything?
You done blanked?
I done blanked.
You done blanked?
I don't know why. Oh. I don't know why.
It's all right.
I know once I walk out of here, there'll be 3,000 things that really, like, just irritate me. Part of it, yeah, I like your concierge non-listening people.
Yeah.
Because I deal with the same thing. Yeah, we call the show every day, and every day we say it's inside the big red building in the back. And every day we get up there and they're sitting on the picnic tables outside going, oh, the show's inside? It's like, what? And we scream at the top of our lungs. So, yeah. People that don't listen, I'm all with that.
Flaky people, I can't get behind that. And it comes in a variety of different ways. Like with Seth Turner, you know, all these people are, you know, hitting him up on Facebook. They're coming to the show. They don't show up. Same with people who want to be put on a VIP list. Oh, I just want to go. I just put me on VIP list, and they don't show up. They don't realize the trouble it takes sometimes to get you free tickets to a show or something like that, and they don't have the common courtesy to say, I'm not going to be able to make it. They just don't show. It makes one, the venue look bad, I think, and it makes the person that gave you the free tickets bad. And, you know, also, of course, myself, if they're going out of their way to say, hey, I want to, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, right up front.
Yeah, like, hey, let's go check out this new place. Can you get us in? Yeah, we'll get in on the VIP list, and then nobody shows.
Well, this is the deal, is that people call me all the time to do stuff. I never ask for anything for myself because it just comes to me. But like, it's like I'm always like texting people, and I'm like, I think that a lot of times people don't show. They're like, last minute, can you get me in this club? Can you get me bottle service? Can you get me a table? Yeah. Because, you know, I want to be that friend, you know, that can always, I can hook you up. Let's, you know, pay it forward, I guess. And sometimes I'm like, someone asked me the other day for bottle service and all this shit. And I was like, well, listen, it's holiday weekend. I can't get you bottle service because I normally can. I was like, but I'll get you on the VIP list. I had to skip the line, blah, blah. And this bitch done posted other places on her goddamn Facebook. I was like, no, you goddamn didn't. I was like, I didn't say anything, but I was like, bitch, you know you're just not supposed to post that you went to Carnival Court instead. I was like, I got you on a VIP list at a top club and you went to Carnival Court?
Yeah, and it's the same thing. Like, I had a group of, like, 5 to 8 people, like, can you get me on the VIP for the grand opening of the Swingers Club? We want to come in and check this place out. And this group of 8 coming in from California. Nope. We just decided not to go, and we.
Well, the one thing about people, you know, it's one thing different with friends and people coming from out of town. Because what happens when you come from out of town? Oh, hell. You get there and you didn't realize that you were going to drink on the plane.
Well, no,
you were going to drink on the bar. You were drink at the buffet.
I understand that. What I'm saying is, if you go to the trouble to say, can you put us on the list? Go to the trouble to say, I'm not going to be able to make it. Don't flake out on it completely. You know, it's just bad.
Just make a call.
Just bad business all the way around. It makes everything look better if you just stay in touch with people. So flaky people, I can't get behind that. Rebecca, you got the last one?
I got to piss. I can't get behind these Depends. I've already pissed in them.
Oh, nice. They're kind of.
Hey, Jace, where are we off to?
We're off to a place that's perfect for both of us, Mike.
Oh, yeah? Where's that?
Whiskey Dicks.
Oh, hell no.
No, seriously. Whiskey Dicks. They've got great food, awesome drinks, live entertainment.
What about karaoke?
Oh, they've got that, too. Plus, they've got the screen so we can watch the best big games in town.
My God, you're right. This place looks pretty amazing.
Amazing? This place is freaking awesome. You should have your man card revoked, Doria. Come check out Whiskey Dicks. It's one of the hottest hot spots in Las Vegas. Come check it out. It's located on 2750 East Craig Road. We'll see you there.
Identity. Don't keep your business unprotected.
Do you drive a Magnum or a smart car? Practice safe advertising. Wrap it up.
Identity.
We have vehicle wraps starting as low as $4.99.
Say my name.
Identity. We have the hottest graphic designers standing by. Call us at 361-0032.
Kevin Burke from Defending the Caveman at Harrah's Hotel and Casino in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, and you are listening to the one and only Rockin' Comedy Show.
Crazy J, this is the FCC. We have you surrounded. Turn off your mic and surrender. We're charging you with 8 counts of FCC violations. Things like language, your incredibly poor taste in programming. But we'll drop the charges if you'll just play number 5. Do you hear me, Jay? Play number 5.
Sort of famous, a minor celebrity, and so it only makes sense the world would be obsessed with every single thing you do. They're running round with their camcorders in the night. They're lurking patiently and hoping that they just might see something real embarrassing you do. The bad hair day and sweat stained t-shirt, that's the story that they're gonna feature. With exclusive pics of your flabby behind, you think you're all alone, but that's right when you'll find a bunch of paparazzi popping out of nowhere. Cameras in your face, and then suddenly you're on TMZ. You're on TMZ. Following you when you're walking down the street and asking stupid questions while you're trying to eat. So you cover your face thinking to yourself, hey, isn't this creepy? And they're out there praying you'll have a big meltdown and take them on a little car chase through this whole town. They'll be there with you when you're going to jail. First on the scene for every wardrobe fail. Picked up some transvestite. Seconds later, it's up on the website. Get a Vegas wedding, a quickie divorce, and they'll be sneaking in, snapping pictures, of course. And if they ever catch you picking your nose or stumbling down the street on a drunken spree, you're on TMZ. Stalking you, just waiting by. Trailing you through airport security. They're with TMZ.
They're with TMZ.
We got this Oscar nominee picking up dog food.
Is that a baby bump?
I pronounce her guilty of leaving the house while fat.
Look who's drinking coffee.
Everything celebrities do is fascinating.
Oh, let me tell you, it's getting to the point where a famous person can't even get a DUI. What a racist rant. Those guys are all around, so you really shouldn't dare go to every club in town if you flop your underwear. Seems that every single time a star decides to shave their head or ram their car into a tree, they're on TMZ. If they catch you peeing in the bushes later on, you're on TMZ.
You're on TMZ.
You're on TMZ. Every single celebrity knows they're gonna be.
They're on TMZ.
Thank you.
sliding around all over the place. We're gonna slide this song into your face. All the little girls say, Jay, give us more. Instead, he's only gonna give us number four. Come on, Jay. Don't snore. Number four.
Chew it, do you swallow it in spite? Can you catch it on your tonsils? Can you heave it left and right? Does your chewing gum lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight? Here comes a blushing bride, the groom is by her side. Up to the altar, just as steady as Gibraltar, while the groom has got the ring, and it's such a pretty thing. But as he slips it on her finger, the choir begins to sing. Overnight, if your mother said don't chew it, do you swallow it in spite? Can you catch it on your tonsils? Can you hear it left and right? Let your chewing gum lose its flavor on the bedpost overnight. Now the nation rises one to send their honored son up to the White House, yeah, the nation's only White House, to voice their discontent unto the president. Upon the burning question, what has swept this continent? If tin whistles are made of tin, what do they make foghorns out of?
Bumble!
Does your chewing gum lose its flavour on the bedpost overnight? If your mother says don't chew it, do you swallow it in spite? Can you catch it on your tonsils? Can you hear it left and right? Does your chewing gum lose its flavour on the bedpost overnight? On the bed.
It's Mark Savard.
Yay!
Welcome back, sir. It's
well, thanks while. For having me. It has been a while.
How's the show?
The show's been going great. I haven't seen you there for a while. I know you came like a lot of times, came to see the show, and then I think since I put the restraining order on you, I haven't seen you.
Well, that's why I haven't been.
Oh, all right.
That's pretty, you know, mean.
Well, yeah, you came. I mean, you know, you would never volunteer. I mean, you've been to the show. How many times have you been to the show?
I volunteered twice, but that was before I knew you.
Oh.
Yeah. I've done, I'll do them all before I get to know you guys, and then I'm like, I'm effed if I,
right.
If I go up there and you guys
did you
know
just
me.
Say effed?
Yeah.
That was E-F-F.
Presence of new people that don't know, you know.
That we can't cuss?
Yeah.
What the fuck are they doing on the show? We can't fucking cuss now? It's that kind of show, Mark.
I know. I've heard it.
Yeah. Anyway, no, it is a very good show. I like your show.
Well, thank you.
It's a lot of fun.
I laughed so hard at your show that literally I was sick for 3 days. I don't know what happened. I got like strep throat after that.
Well, I mean,
but you didn't go. You didn't go up on his show either,
huh?
Did you?
No. I wasn't a participant back in the day. I only participated because you guys made me.
No. There was. We had Anthony Cools on, and she was pretty insistent that she couldn't be hypnotized. Mm. So Anthony invited her down and. Mm. Well, needless to say, she lost the bet.
If you'd like to see the video, it's online. It was pretty bad.
I was going to take your comment as a compliment that you were sick for 3 days after laughing so hard.
I laughed so hard.
But I mean, I probably shouldn't put that on the poster. Come see my show and you'll be sick for three
days. You'll be sick for 3 days.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard. I was like crying. It was so much fun.
Well,
I had the best
you.
Time.
I'm glad you enjoyed.
I love the blow-up dolls.
How long have you actually been doing the show?
I'm on my fifth year. We just celebrated 1,000 shows. at the V Theater.
Nice.
So yeah, that's a big accomplishment. There's not a lot of shows that can say that, you know. No. And that's I think in this day and age, in this economy, and you know, it seems like 9 out of 10 shows fail within a year. So it's a huge statistic for us to be proud of. You know, we're that little tiny show that just keeps plugging away, and the people are buying tickets, and our momentum's growing, and the show's been healthy and strong, and we're enjoying the ride. I mean, you know, it's almost surreal sometimes to think that, you know, small town Canadian kid, you know, 2,500 people.
Canadian hypnotist? What the hell? What's in the water up there?
Well, you know, at the exchange rate, we're, you know, 20% better. No, it's not like that at all. I think that sometimes I forget, and I have to, you know, so when I talk about, hey, we just celebrated 1,000 shows, it re-registers in your mind that, yeah, that is a huge accomplishment. Because every night you drive down the strip 6 nights a week, it loses its appeal. You're just going to work, you know, you head into the back door of the hotel and you forget that you're performing on a stage that is the pinnacle of entertainment in the world. People pay good money to visit. So sometimes it's nice to get that little reality check when you hit a milestone like that and you take a moment to reflect back and go, wow, that really is something. So
that's probably one of the strongest show at the V Theater.
Well, thank you, ma'am. V, the Ultimate Variety Show, is the staple show that it's got, you know, the two shows at 7 o'clock and
but that hasn't
8:30.
Always been there.
It has. It's been the flagship show that David Sacks has had.
It started out the Venetian.
That's true. That is true.
I saw it on opening night. Hello. Wow. Back in la, 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 la.
That's got to be 9 years ago, probably 10 years ago. Because I think V's
the turn of the millennium.
Wow.
When the Venetian first opened.
Yeah.
Right.
Good God.
Jeez,
opened, a couple years after it opened.
Yeah, because I think the V Theater has been as it stands for like the last 7 or 8 years, I think. Maybe even more. Maybe it's been longer. Maybe nine years?
I do not know. I just remember when it opened, we went to it, and it was at the Venetian. And I said, the V show, that used to be somewhere else. No, it's always been the V Theater. And I go, no, it hasn't. No. Yeah. And then I finally put two and two together.
You are correct. It was at the Venetian.
You are the strongest show at the V Theater.
Are you seven nights a week? Yeah. 5 nights a week?
6. I'm off on Fridays.
Off on Fridays. And your show's 10 o'clock, right?
Late. 10 o'clock, yeah. It used to be at 10:30 when we first opened, but we shifted at 10 o'clock. And when they moved the theater schedule around, and it's actually been better for us. Half hour, you think, wouldn't make a difference. It's a huge difference.
Yeah, well, people think, I'm going to get it at midnight. Yeah. They can't fathom it. It's too late.
Well, just
you're going to be up having sex with hookers and doing blow anyways. They don't realize that. You're cutting into their blow time.
Yeah. Well, we want them to do blow before the show, and then it keeps them awake throughout the...
No, I thought you said specifically you're not supposed to do drugs. Because I went to that show sober.
Right, that's true.
Which is a rarity for her.
My God.
Well, it's so funny because you talk about the 10 o'clock time show, but everyone from the East Coast, that's 1 o'clock in the morning for them. So, and that's how 30, 40% of your market. It's a challenging thing. There's more to it than just being able to sell show tickets. The times matter. How you promote it matters. How many nights a week? I mean, we're strategically placed off on Fridays because it is important. And statistically, Fridays aren't a good night for shows.
No, they aren't. People want a club.
Well, yeah, a lot of people are coming into town and they're just...
Especially my demographics. You know, my demographics is anywhere from an 18 to high 30s, low 40s type of graphic.
They're fist pumping at
downtown. So, they want to be clubbing. It's good. Mondays is one of our strongest nights.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's a good date night for you and your wife.
Friday nights, lots of cool things happening
in
town.
He's clubbing. Yeah. Fist pumping.
I can't tell you the last time I've been to a club.
It's been forever. It's like, because in this town, it's like, you guys, you want bottle service? VIP? No. I'm going to go saw my fingers off with a dirty spork.
Yeah, no, I just, to get the hookers and blow delivered to my house.
So. Exactly. We know where it's at.
Yeah. So what made you want to be a hypnotist?
I didn't. It was it just happened by accident. Honestly, I was trying to get into med school, and I started reading and research on hypnosis because I saw a hypnotist show, a guy by the name of Preston, who was a hypnotist that was quite popular in Canada and has since passed away about a dozen years ago. And so I saw his show in a nightclub. And I was 18. I was 18, which was the legal drinking age in Canada and Alberta at the time. And I was fascinated and being, fairly inquisitive. I thought, how do people use the power of words to make other people behave in a certain way? I didn't understand it. I didn't know if it was, Harry Potter crap or some type of witchcraft. I didn't understand.
Witchcraft.
And So after doing reading and research for my own personal satisfaction, I was never a performer. I was not, you know, the class clown or anything like that. It wasn't like my dad's a welder and, you know, a structural steel welder, and my mom ran the office. They wanted me to take over the business. That didn't work out. So it's not like I came from a performing family. It just was one of those things that just kind of happened. And my friends got wind of it. They saw that I was reading books on hypnosis, and they said, well, hey, do you want to hypnotize us? And so obviously I said, yeah. So I invited him over to my apartment, and it was a girl I was dating and two of her friends. And so here I'm hypnotizing them, and one girl went into hypnosis. And to this day, she's still probably the deepest person I've ever hypnotized.
And that's his wife.
Yeah, no. Nope, she came along later. So then she responded to all the hypnotic phenomena. It's like she was sent by the hypnotic gods. Amnesia, anesthesia, doesn't matter, hallucinations, anything she would respond to. And it was quite remarkable. So it was just kind of one of those things that I guess I was chosen, as gay as that sounds. You know, I was like, ew. But yeah, I was chosen. I was chosen by the hypnosis gods.
How long have you been doing it professionally? Getting paid.
Getting paid. Getting paid. My first show was for a sports team year-end party. They had heard that I was doing hypnosis, you know, at my apartment. And, you know, at one time I had 40.
Out of the back of my car.
Yeah, well, that's pretty what it really was. It was 42 people in my two-bedroom apartment. I was doing a little mini show with a bunch of buddies on Friday nights. And while we were all going to college, that was Friday nights. You know, we head over to Mark's place and get hypnotized, order pizzas at 2 in the morning.
I hear Canadians are cheap, but
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, real cheap. That's how it kind of started. And then I got a call from a sports team. Hey, we heard you do hypnosis and you do shows. Wanted you to do a show for us. I'm like, oh, I don't do shows. I mean, I'm just messing around. No, just do what you do. And we heard it's really great and it's fun. And we'll pay you $150. So,
oh, score.
Yeah, it was a 5-hour drive.
Canadian
one way.
U.S.
Yeah, okay. Canadian. Yeah, Canadian dollars. So it was a 5-hour drive one way.
Canadian time?
Yep. And so it's 5 hours and 45 minutes. And then 5 hours, drove there, paid my sound guy $50. I netted $100 and I had to buy fuel out of that remaining $100. So, the joke was on them. I would have done it for $100, you know. So that was the very first show, and that was my first year. So I went as 19.
And how did that show go?
Awesome. I was hooked.
Like, I'm stuck.
I had got all these music cues ready, but, you know, making CDs was not, you know, as easy as it is today. So everything was made on cassette tapes, but I didn't want to rewind the cassette tapes. I had, like, you know, 18 sound cues, I think, for the show, and we had 18 cassette tapes all ready. You know, you rewind it, and then you put the Bic pen in, and you spin the wheel so that, you know, the clear, you started on the actual tape part. Yeah. It was all preset and ready, and tape one, tape two, tape three, my sound guy ran the show. And
people bought the tapes, you just handed them out?
No, this was the audio cassette tapes.
Oh, you were queuing up music. Yeah. So I thought you were recording them so people could take them home.
No. So that's that was how we ran our sound system. Uh-huh. And it was totally hack amateur job. And,
love it.
But the show
but
went great.
But it sounded
great.
Amazing.
Yeah, the show went great. And I did 6 shows my first year, 52 the next year, 115 the third. And then I just had to call my parents and tell them I was
quitting med school.
Yeah. Oh, they shit.
They loved
it. Oh, they lost their minds. Yeah, it was not cool. It was not cool at all. Yeah, how's your son doing in college trying to get into med school? Well, he quit to be a vaudeville
variety. He's making girls think they're ducks.
Yeah, vaudeville variety act.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, it took him a while to come around.
You've been at the V Theater for 5 years. How long have you been in Vegas? Just the 5 years?
8. Living here for 8, but just performing for 5. Yeah. I call it, you know, Vegas the hub for where I was touring. I was averaging about 220 dates a year for 7 years prior to coming to Vegas.
A lot of cruise work? We get up people in the No cruise work?
No. I did a couple of weeks on a cruise. That's it.
Oh, wow.
That's it. Yeah. And all done. I toured around doing an alcohol awareness program. I was hit by a drunk driver 14 years ago and broke my back and fractured my skull.
Holy shit. And
from that, I designed an alcohol awareness program geared for high school students, mixed in with my show. So I'd hypnotize the students and do a bunch of fun and crazy things. And then I'd set up a car crash scenario, which you can imagine would be pretty emotional. And then they would talk about their experiences like they had lived them real life on stage.
Yeah.
Very controlled environment, very controversial, very newsworthy, you know, front page of Vancouver Sun and like big things like that. Like insurance companies were buying that program and sending it through schools. And it was a very, very successful program and something I'm really, really proud of. So that was kind of what kept me on the road a lot. And when my wife and I decided that maybe we'd have some children, we decided to try to look for something a little bit more stable where I could be home every night. And that's where we decided, let's move to Vegas and let's just get a feel of what's happening there. And if we can't get a, you know, put our thumb on something, then at least it's easy to get to and from. You know, when I have the weekend off, I could fly into Vegas and go home. When I was traveling a lot in the U.S. and living in Canada, I wouldn't go home. You know, by the time you had a border crossing, by the time you fly into a little tiny town in Canada, it was just, it didn't make sense. So we'd spend our weekends apart. I'd go on the road, you know, sometimes 2 months at a time. So
how do you, as far as like your visa, I never asked Anthony about this, but how's your work situation work with, you know?
Yeah, so anyway, so about the touring and whatnot. Oh. So it's real busy.
And scene. Don't worry, I don't think the INS.
The good news is I am legally here. Yeah, I do have a work visa and everything's legit and everything.
I didn't know if you got your green card or whatever.
I do not have my green card yet.
You're working for it.
And I give my wife shit for not being American. You know, because that would have been easy. That would have been easy. Marry an American, and it's all good. But so I've been actually 13 years in marriage this month.
Well, congratulations.
Yay.
Yeah, that's harder than keeping a show in Vegas. So,
yeah.
Oh my God, in Vegas it's amazing. It's unheard of. I'm very cute.
Well, we hear a lot, like we'll go to, you know, Anthony's show or, you know, Michael John's show, and they're like, how can you go when it, you know, it's kind of the same show? But it's not. I mean, it does, the audience makes it different. So you go up there and let's see, with the blow-up dolls, or you make somebody's belt turn into a snake or whatever.
Oh, that was awesome.
Those reactions are always great, but I mean, it's got to affect you differently too. Like, you know.
Well, every night, everyone's personality brings something different to the table. You know, and there's a lot of opportunity for their personalities to come out in my show. You know, we ask them what their porn names are. Everyone responds different to the snake routine. And there's always something that surprises you, even though I've done 1,000 shows here, let alone how many thousands of shows over 18 years. It never ceases to amaze me that every night there's something that comes up where you scratch your head and you're like, wow, I had, I mean, what are the chances? About last week.
The snake thing. That was so funny.
It's probably one of my favorite routines.
Oh my God.
That's the only thing I remember when you put me under was the snake thing. Mm-hmm. And I like snakes, but I don't know why.
You don't want it in your belt. But when you brought the blow-up dolls out, because, you know, like I said, we've seen all these different hypnotists, but they all have different techniques, you know. Right. But, I loved that. I was just dying. I thought it was hilarious. And ruin it for anybody.
We had a guy actually come up on stage, and his real job was an adult film star. That's what he does for a living. And so when he said that, I mean, I was chuckling because I knew in about 30 minutes' time he was going to be demonstrating his skills with the blow-up doll. And and it was very humorous. So,
oh, good.
But every night there's something different. You know, I don't know if you guys saw the YouTube video that I put up about a month ago or so. When I shake a guy's hand, I give him the suggestion that every time I shake his hand, he gets jock itch. And he's got a scratch and adjust and he's got a real bad case of jock itch. Well, the guy turns out when I ask his name, he says his name is Jock. And I think he picked up the suggestion of what I was saying, and he just somehow in his mind, you know, it became his name. So I put him back in hypnosis. I said, you know, sleep, and your name is what it normally is. It's not, you know, the condition I've given you. And so sure enough, he pops his eyes open. I go, all right, what's your name? And he says, Jock. Again, so now I'm confused, and so I yell out to the audience, who's with this guy? And they're like, us. And I'm like, what's his name? And they're like, Jock. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So I go over and I ask for his ID. Sure enough, he pulls out his ID. His name is Jock, J-O-C-K. It's spelled right on his ID. And I'm thinking, first of all.
Who are your parents?
Who the hell names their kid Jock? Second of all, how many people in
Mr.
the world
and Mrs. Jock? Strap.
And third, what are the chances that you'd end up in Las Vegas, and of all the shows to choose from, you choose mine. And fourth, not only do you choose my show, you end up volunteering on stage. And fifth, of the 30 people that volunteer, I select you of the 10 to be participant. And then of the 10, I give you that suggestion. I mean, are you kidding me?
Genius.
I mean, what are the chances? So it was, that was probably one of the most unique experiences that happened on stage. I mean, seriously.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, we've got a little fun for you.
Fun.
You may not be aware of it, but
I don't see the blow-up dolls anywhere, so.
No.
Well, like your
They're
show.
They're blow-up sheep.
Well, like your show, we keep them hidden. Yeah. And we'll take a break, and we'll be back right after.
Hi, this is Rebecca from the Rockin' Comedy Show. And if you're anything like me, you're always on the go. If you're planning a corporate event, working out, or getting the news ready for the Rockin' Comedy Show, whatever it is that keeps you moving, then all you have to do is try Zip Fizz. It's all natural. It's not like all those other energy drinks that leave you with that hard crash? Just put it in your water and you are ready to go. Plus, I like all the different flavors. You can try grape, you can try orange or lemon. From their powdered formula to the instant shot, it really works for people on the go who just need that extra 4 to 5 hour boost. Visit them at ZipFizz.com or wherever ZipFizz is sold.
Whiskey dicks. They're so sexy. Whiskey dicks. Makes me so hungry. There's entertainment nightly. Come join the party.
This is Chris Reject here. As a fan of comedy music, I want to tell you about this awesome CD from Dino Mike. It's called
it's Chimericana.
Anyway, it's great. Favorites like...
Bender, no one will know how'd I get so clever.
And...
My homies know that I'm totally cool when I drive up with my school on rims to my private school.
And don't forget about...
She wants a
baby mama, baby mama, baby mama, baby mama.
So pick up your copy of
Chimericana.
It can be found at dynamite.com and with his other albums, but
Chimericana
is the best one to date. Did I mention it also has...
Cause she's a dorkhorn. Saving geeks like you and me, she's a dorkhorn.
So order your copy of
Chimericana
today at dynamite.com.
Hi, I'm Andrea Robinson.
And I'm Trevor Jones.
And we are
Robinson Jones.
And you're listening to
the Rockin' Comedy Show.com.
All right, you're listening to the Rockin' Comedy Show. We're back with our guest, Mark Savard.
Yeah.
Rebecca is here, and filling in for Spaz this week is Brian Hoffman.
Yay.
And we're going to do a little game. You're coming up on your 13th wedding anniversary, right?
Yeah.
A lucky 13.
Yep.
You got anything special planned?
Not yet. I still got you know, 2 weeks to plan something. So.
Oh, I thought it was this Friday. I'm sorry.
No.
No?
No.
You got 2 weeks?
It's my daughter's birthday this Friday.
She turned,
my youngest daughter. She turns 3.
Wow.
Yay.
So having kids that young, you don't really get to plan anything special for your anniversary. You know,
that's why you don't see us with any.
Yeah, well, we thought it would be fun. We do a game on this show every once in a while called "We Dropped Your Wife on You." We've secretly contacted your wife to answer some questions about you.
Cool.
We're gonna ask you the same questions and see how much you guys match.
All right. I like it.
I gotta say, she was like, I've never done anything like this for Mark.
And welcome to show business.
So our first question is, when and where did you guys meet?
We got set up on a blind date. And we went to a restaurant called McCormick's, which is this restaurant in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. We got set up by a mutual friend named Crystal. And neither of us wanted to meet each other, actually. When Crystal said, I got the right girl for you, I'm like, I can meet my own girls, thanks. And and when she said that to Joanna, same thing. And it took several months before we actually we met. And then Crystal called me where she was working with Joanna at the time and said, oh, hold on one second. And then puts Joanna on the phone. And Joanna's like, hello. And I'm like, hello. And it just was awkward. And then we both kind of went, we're being forced into that. So we decided to meet for dinner. And the rest is history.
Let's see what Joanne
said. No. With a mutual friend, a girl that he went to high school with, and a girl that I worked with, and she was trying to set us up on a blind date, and there was, you know, it just, we ended up meeting, and I guess everything just was perfect, and the rest is history.
Jackpot! One for one.
History.
Very one nice. So the next one. So the next question was, obviously, there was a second date involved, so who asked who out?
Ooh, I slow played her. Yeah. By like a day.
Dick.
Yeah. I slow played her for a day, didn't call her.
We love that. God. Yeah. Why do you guys do that?
Well, worse than that. That night, well, see, what happened is you never know if a blind date's going to work. So you meet kind of like for like drinks, you know, and then you're like 20 minutes committed. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, it was really nice to meet you. Let's get together sometime if it's a complete disaster. But if it works out, you're like, oh, let's, you want to get a bite
of tea? That's
really. You know, let's get a bite of tea. So I had an exit plan. My roommate and my cousin who was visiting in town, I made plans to go to a movie with them. So if even if it went well, then I could, you know.
I'm still going to know a player.
Right. So anyway, two nights later, we went for martinis, and I called her and asked her for a second date.
So, what was that?
That was somebody calling in.
Uh-oh, Skype. Oh.
But we'll take it here in 1 minute. Let's find out what Joanne's answer was.
Oh, definitely him. Yeah, definitely him. We went to kind of a pool hall and sat and had drinks and played pool and talked about our future together.
Two for two so far.
Yeah. You're actually doing pretty well. The third question that we asked was, how often do you feel like Mark has you under a hypnosis trance?
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. She's gonna say. See. This is a tough one. See, I never ever hypnotized. She wanted me to hypnotize her, and I never ever hypnotized her because I wanted the relationship to be always even keel and not to have power over her. And the first time I hypnotized
power.
Her.
Power. I've got power.
And the first time
He-Man?
I've ever hypnotized her was when she was about to deliver our first baby. We used hypnosis as the only anesthesia. So
really? Did that work?
Yeah, very effective. All three of our kids, she delivered pain-free.
Shut up.
Yeah, pain-free. So I think she's going to say that she has me under her spell. I think she's going to flip it around.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we'll let him believe that he has me in that trance forever. I will say I am mesmerized by his personality and by who he is and just his whole being. So I guess if love is a form of hypnosis, then I am always hypnotized.
Aww.
But I don't know. I guess I like to think that I have a lot of control over the relationship. So maybe I'm reversing the hypnosis and he's the one that's hypnotized.
Good one.
Have you ever, outside of a car or an airplane, have you ever had sex in a very strange place?
Ooh.
She answered right away.
Just mess up.
I'm trying to think.
There's so many places.
Yeah, there's so many. If I'm wrong, you guys are going to find two locations. You're going to hear about two locations that were a little... how about the open balcony facing the strip on the MGM Signature Resorts Hotel?
Wow, that's not what she said.
Yeah. So that was on a staycation.
Let's listen and see what she said.
His biggest pet peeve.
Oh,
my goodness. Well, we'll let him believe.
Oh, did I miss this one? I think I got it mixed up.
Oh.
Her answer was sex in your office on the desk.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Which now happens to be Jessica, my assistant's desk, by the way. Who's sitting in here right now? Sorry about that.
Awesome. And how did your wife let you have such a lovely assistant?
We've known Jessica forever. I think Jessica's better friends with my wife than she is with me.
His office desk.
Nice.
Yeah.
Say no more. Say no more. No, I'm just kidding.
His poor employees are going to have to sanitize his office space now.
Desk? I don't even think I'm that dirty.
What's the one thing that Mark does that drives you crazy? What's her biggest pet peeve about you?
her biggest pet peeve about me. Whew.
See how we started easy?
Yeah, these are tough. So what are we, two for three or three for four? What are we?
You've missed one.
Let's take a call real quick.
All right.
I think... Rockin' Comedy Show. Is this Cheryl Vendetti?
Yes, is it? And this is the Rockin' Comedy Show.
I like a girl that drinks.
Now, we're told you're a very funny lady.
Well, not really, but I try.
All right, thank you for calling in.
I'm pretty funny. I think I'm pretty funny.
Well, let's find out. Mark Savard is here. He's a hypnotist here in Las Vegas. Say hi to Mark.
Hi, Mark. Hello. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I think I'm doing good, but maybe not as good as you.
Yeah. You've been traveling today, right?
Are you one of the casinos, Mark?
I sure am at Planet Hollywood over at the V Theater.
Mark. There's no R in there.
You're at Planet Hollywood. Well, you know, I know a lot of people. I know Jimmy Emerson, he was at the Riviera for like 17 years in the Lacage show, and I guess they just went down to the Four Queens.
Winner.
And yep. I know Jerry Holiday, the puppet guy.
Love him.
Yeah.
He's a good one.
Yeah.
Name some more.
And Sandy Hackett, who's doing the Rat Pack.
Oh, we love Rat Pack. Yeah. Even though the show closed, we still love him.
Thought he's over at Planet Hollywood now.
Anyway,
not playing Hilton.
I was told by your publicist that you're on it. You have a campaign that you're trying to cook with Ellen. What's that about?
All right, this is the deal. I wrote a cookbook called Mistress of the Mob Cuisine about growing up in the North End of Boston. And what I decided to change the names of all my relatives to protect the guilty. So I wrote a book, and I started to do all these. I started to do this segment called Chaos in the Kitchen, and I've been on the CW's Daily Buzz and Sack and Company, and a lot of the Good Morning shows. And as I was driving to these gigs in the morning with all of my ingredients, and nothing against any of these people that booked me, I was thinking I should be cooking with Ellen.
You should.
As I was driving, I'm unpacking all my chicken and my oregano and basil and this and that. So I was telling a friend of mine in Florida, my friend Andrew, about it. And my friend Andrew said to me, why don't you start a campaign on Facebook called I Want to Cook with Ellen? And I thought, that is a really cool idea. So I thought I'd start a campaign, Do I Want to Cook with Ellen? Because I figured, you know, she doesn't really like to cook, and, you know, But she's a great audience, and I thought, you know, a lot of comics want to get on Ellen and do stand-up, and I thought, you know, I want to get on Ellen and cook with her.
Do you have any lore tabs? Do you have any lore tabs? Would you like the address?
She said yes. She
does. Sweet.
She does.
Are they seven and a halves or tens?
I say yes to everything. Oh. So I started a campaign called I Want to Cook with
Don't
Ellen.
Lie about drugs.
And
click.
And I figured, you want to know what? Why not?
And
I love Ellen DeGeneres. You know, she does cooking segments, and she needs more chefs other than just Paula Deen.
Editing room floor.
So I started the campaign, I Want to Cook with Ellen. And you know what's interesting about it? One of the producers on the Ellen show got in touch with my manager. I haven't gotten booked yet, but I got their eye. So they decided to post my cover of my book on Ellen's website. Wow. So that's a plus.
Well, that's awesome. How long have you been doing stand-up comedy?
I've been doing stand-up comedy for a very long time. I've been doing stand-up comedy many, many years. I started out as a, you know, an MC, and then I worked my way up to headlining. And, I've been doing it for a long time. I mean, you know, I did the Sahara Hotel before the Mafia burnt it down.
How can people find out where you're performing?
They can go on my website, CherylVendetti.com, or they can go on Facebook, because I give good face, Or they can, and for all the people that don't really know what's going on the internet, they can go to MySpace. even though nobody goes to MySpace anymore, but they can go. They'll go to MySpace. But I have one. Oh, let me see. Nobody I got to say this. I'm also going to be on Fox next season. On Fox, I'm going to be a regular on a new show, a new reality show called The Bogey Boys, and I'm going to be a series regular. And we start shooting next March.
Well, that's awesome. Well, we want to.
Isn't that awesome?
It is awesome, and we want to thank you for calling in.
Yay! Thank you, Sinfills.
Well, listen, you guys. Thank you. Listen, go on my website or go on Facebook and say you like me. You really, really, really like me.
All right,
and
we will.
And then who knows, you?
Really,
is there a really, really like
thank
button?
You.
Right.
I'm gonna really, really poke you.
I really don't know if taking live calls is a good idea.
And yeah.
So, back to the game, Mark.
That'll be cut.
Yeah. No, she was funny. She was like your mom. Loves lower tabs and was drunk. It was awesome.
But my mom doesn't lie. She's got lower tabs.
So, your biggest pet peeve that you have that she doesn't like?
It really is a tough one. Probably maybe one of three things. Oh, man. I'm either a workaholic. I work way too much in the office, or...
Yeah, we know you work in the office.
Yeah.
So, la, la, la.
Or the fact that I like to always be right. That is another one. I like to always be right.
Goodness. Well, we'll let him believe that his biggest pet peeve, or my biggest pet peeve of what he does, is he is, I think, completely attached to his cell phone, and his texting is nonstop. And he does a lot of business on his phone, but he lives with it. He sleeps beside it. It's steady texting and emailing and dealing with things on his phone. So we only had one break away from that. It was a couple years ago. We went to Hawaii, just him and I, without the kids, and he even left his phone at home. So
that was tough.
It was tough, but he did it.
Well, I don't know. You text men?
It's all about business.
What business?
Nobody
text?
Calls anymore.
I know, but
as a matter of fact, I'd rather not talk to someone, because then you're trapped. You know,
I mean, usually I email them. Texting is for lovers.
Email. I mean, isn't it funny how, you know, 30 years ago, you'd send a letter and you have to wait a week for it to get there, a week for the person to write it, and a week for them to respond back. Now, I send someone an email, I'm pressing send and receive 4 minutes later going, why the hell haven't they answered? I mean, we've become such an impatient
society.
Well,
I don't know. I've been dumped twice today, and I've gotten back together with the same person.
The coach?
I think we broke up twice today, and now we're back together. Literally, I've not talked to him physically in 9 days.
All right. So you missed that one, the pet peeve
what,
one.
The pet peeve?
Yeah.
What? That she's on the phone. He's on the phone texting all the time.
That's not what he said, though.
I said I was a workaholic.
Yeah.
So
I
wrong?
I think same thing.
Half a point.
Half a point.
All right. Is Mark more outdoorsy, or does he like the finest hotels?
Ooh.
This just should be slam dunk.
No, before we got married, I'd say everything was outdoorsy. And now since the work, I think I see indoors all the time. So I'd say I'm more hotel fancy now.
You know, he used to, when he was younger, do more of the camping outdoorsy things. I used to water ski, go camping, stay out, and live out at the lake. However, now, and since I have known him, definitely a hotel guy. Loves his five-star, get pampered, be in a nice place that's got great amenities and whatnot.
Very nice. Very nice. Our next question is, at home, is Mark a diva?
I'm going to go with yes.
I'd say absolutely not.
Yes, absolutely. No, you know what? He is so down to earth, just normal, kind of take me as I am guy. He says everything straight up front, how he is. You know, he would wear grubby clothes everywhere if he could get away with it. So he's not a typical headliner as per se. He's not, you know, he's not high maintenance. He's just kind of real. He's true to himself. He's true to everybody who he's around. And so, but, you know, he definitely does like it at home when his wife is taking care of him and pampering him. So I guess a little bit of both.
So a half diva.
Yeah, half diva.
The beautiful assistant, the fancy car. I don't know.
Well, you know, that a lot of that is...
It's image. You have to do it.
You do. You do. You really have... You do. I mean, if I showed up with an 82 boogie van all, you know, tinted up, you know, with
John Lester,
free candy on the side, you know, people don't take you seriously. It's quite funny. I mean, matter of fact, David Sachs actually bugged me when I first opened the show at the V Theater. I had a Ford Excursion. I had two of them, actually, but I used them for traveling, and one of them pulled the trailer, and then the other one wife had with the kids, and he goes, yeah, when are you going to get rid of the minivans and buy a sports car? And we laughed about it, and he goes, yeah, you need an image. So I bought a 67 Camaro, and then sold that last year. But that was a fun car.
I liked your update on Facebook the other day. You're like, your cop pulls you over, and you're like, it goes the speed limit.
That was pretty. He laughed. He
I
laughed and let
it.
Me
I
go.
Thought it was hilarious. Yeah. How fast does it go? It goes the speed limit.
Our next question: what do you do? This is for her. What does she do that drives you absolutely crazy? But she does it anyway.
What does she do that drives me insane? Time management.
Let's see. I think probably my lack of organization, like just trying to get into a project and getting it organized and putting it through to completion. I have a tough time with that. And with, you know, a busy household of three kids and a husband, I find that it is a challenge, but I think it is quite a pet peeve of his, just having things scattered all over the place and unorganized.
I think that's about it.
That's pretty good.
That's close.
Pretty close.
Yes.
And we'll do one more question before our break. Does Mark like a good Lifetime movie or chick flick?
I would say...
Now it gets tough.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we find out if he watches Lifetime.
I don't watch Lifetime. I don't watch television, really. I really don't watch television. But a chick flick, we go to chick flicks on date night, and I'm very, very happy, and I like chick flicks.
Oh, like, I haven't. He doesn't watch a lot of TV, and if he is around the TV, I'm not around him. So between the two of us, we're not watching a lot. If it is, it's like a kids program, a Barney show or something. So... No.
That's a way. That's a good way to cover. He does.
Yeah, right.
He immediately.
I will walk by and see. The most I probably would walk by would be seeing like a porno channel or something. that's not Lifetime. That's real life, but that's not Lifetime.
It'd be a chick flick if it was two girls in it, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's considered a chick flick. Then there you go.
All right, so we're going to take a break and we'll finish the game right after this.